Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation: O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmanas, who are following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Purport. You hear? It's okay. The wonder of atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. He was the son of the most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, one's situation is called Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord, instead of in sense enjoyment. From the personal example of Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than the service of the Lord. One should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord and constantly engage in his service. Accept such a servant as a spiritual master and engage himself in his spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is a transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. By service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of the human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. The whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord as soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything to glorify the Lord, and therefore, under his guidance, the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. So first, there was, in this chapter actually, this chapter and next is probably one of the most significant chapter in Vyasadeva's life, because Srimad Bhagavatam is to be born, like probably in our lives, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of entire Vaishnavism. It's something like in the Bible, before Jesus was born, it was big omens and big thing, and indeed, life of Jesus is a base for most prominent religion on the planet. His birth, savior of the world, the Lamb of God. So Srimad Bhagavatam is in category, is a light in the age of Kali Yuga. So as many qualified speakers were speaking last few weeks, like I'm nowhere near them, which is obvious, something like piece of brick among the gems, which is obviously inferior. And neither I know philosophy or I'll parroting some verses. There is just few things which kind of stands out for me. We can discuss together. And I'm nobody, but I just invite you to listen carefully to make best benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam. On the end, we'll recap together main points. So we see now complete turn of the topic in this verse. This is like boom, something else. All these verses leading up to, you know, Srila Narada Muni tried to inspire Vyasadeva to write something different a little bit. And then this verse is totally turned up. So it's like Srimad Bhagavatam has many tongues. That suddenly, when I was reading this verse, you can read that actually again. Like, yesterday's verse is, learned circles have positively concluded that infallible purpose of advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of the hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental description of the Lord who is defined in the choice poetry. And then this verse is completely different, apparently. O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant, engaged in the service of Brahmanas, who were followers of principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. It's totally, so I have to go ahead. Although I read Srimad Bhagavatam many times, still get lost every now and then. You have to go ahead, see why he's changing the topics and what's all about. Therefore, I think Chintamani, Mother Chintamani and Krishna Dharma doing great service to put this together. So we have one place, everything. Answers, questions, answers. Otherwise, you have to really study many times Srimad Bhagavatam to know where you get lost. So I was going ahead and I'll kind of discuss this verse in the terms of the rest of the verses and the end of the chapter. I have some notes, but we probably go somewhere else. So that I said at the beginning that Srimad Bhagavatam is indeed like savior of humanity. Like in the beginning of this canto, there is a verse, Idam Bhagavatam Nama, some of you may know this verse. But he said very important, Brahma Samhitam. Brahma Samhitam, what this would mean? It means incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna. So this is Lord Shri Krishna personified in the Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam. And I said, Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka, that verse is actually, these words are in previous verse from yesterday. Uttama Shloka precisely means like a Lord who is described by choices, poetry. Uttama means ultimate and Shloka means, of course, the verse or Shloka we can call it. So there's a more precise, or the Uttama Shloka thing is in this verse somewhere or in the next few, describe just the Lord, Uttama Shloka. And he said also in that verse 1340, Nishrishesaya Lokasya, Nishrishesaya, something like that, means for the ultimate God, ultimate good, and Lokasya means of all people. That means Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to save the humanity. It means all perfect. Dayanam Swasti Ayanam Hat, all perfect. Just to translate this verse, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people and it is all successful, all blissful and all perfect. And also he said, this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So you see the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam is for the topmost transcendentalists or for those who want to go back home, back to Godhead. So in some previous classes, we were discussing this preaching and all this, and what is significance of Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll touch maybe a little bit later on that. But how many of you actually have some glimpse of realization that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most brilliant scripture? Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. So did anyone spend time, years, or whatever, searching for the answers, for the absolute truth? Many years. Anyone, probably all of you, what is the absolute truth? What is that? So what was your hope to find? Any example? What you've been hoping to find by searching different parts of scriptures, what this should contain? Give us a few lines. I mean, in terms of spiritual kind of, you know, if you've been spiritual seeker and have been seeking perfect scriptures, what was your hope to find? What's what this kind of scripture should contain? What it should be? Like, as a spiritual scriptures which give you enlightenment, and you've been searching for such literature, so what was your criteria, what you've been expecting to find within that scriptures? What's supposed to give you? Before, nothing good with Krishna consciousness. Nothing good with Krishna consciousness for now.
More about God, and his soul, what is his soul?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Come on, smart guys. Yes, well, what am I doing now?
What's my purpose?
Yeah.
Am I just meant to go to school? Get a job, etc. So that's fine.
So you've probably been reading other stuff also. So how that didn't give you the answer? Or, yeah? Some vague?
Yeah, just vague descriptions.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyone else?
Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yes, boy, that's a. We have right to know this. You know, don't think God doesn't have a form, go to hell. Or, you know, whatever. We have right to know. Otherwise, you know, why is that in us, these questions? Why is there? I mean, for me, I spent many years, of course. I mean, it was, you know, you always hope to find something to crack this reality, you know, to experience something else, not just mundane reality, you know. Of course, you have fuzzy ideas about universe and energies and other beings, you know, lights. But in first place, for something enlightening, something practical, something absorbing, something, you know, which will take my mind in some other realm. So, sorry. Yeah? Complete. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gaps and missing links. Yeah. Yeah. Fragments. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For you read a lot to complete the picture. Fragment here, fragment there, but they all contradict each other. You know, this because all this. I mean, there are many spiritual seekers, many so-called gurus, whatever, who really want to know, but they don't know what the absolute truth is. And then they are, you ask any New Age guy, do you know who you are? He said, I don't know. I admit. What's ultimate reality? I don't know. I'm seeking. So this kind of uncertain things make them to produce such a literature, which is also without conclusion. And then you read and you don't have a conclusion and, you know, it doesn't satisfy you really. You know, you cannot. But when I came to Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, you know, I read like what, a few times, 7-8 times entire, but just lately kind of, I just kind of get addicted to it, you know. It's kind of oozing out something else, like something which I don't describe, but, you know, comes out. So I can say full-heartedly there is no such a scripture as Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, books related to that. So let's go back to the Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva, after compiling all this vast literature, he was not proud, you know, like I did such a job, you know, most of the people, if not all, would be proud, intricate, you know, he was probably glorified by some other sages, whatever. But that he was proud, this would be end of it. It would be not, I cannot say qualified, but would be, Srimad Bhagavat would be not written actually. He would be self-satisfied, I gave it. But he was humble and honest, and something was missing, you see, inside. So this instigated all Ping and Narada to kind of confirm that, and Srimad Bhagavatam indeed is born within these few chapters, probably most important chapters in entire Srimad Bhagavatam, in our lives, in his life, are there just right now. So in one sense, this satisfaction of Vyasadeva was linked very much with preaching, which, you know, he attempted also, isn't it? Indirectly, around. But it was not pleasing. It was not much direct touch with the Supreme. So, and he was humble. So the instruction from that for me is that if you are really truly humble and always feel I don't do enough, in that state, then Krishna can empower you beyond imagination. You can be a really transparent medium. This is what means transparent medium. I don't have credit for myself. I'm just open to Guru Parampara, and all this wave of inspiration comes from them. Then you're qualified. You're a good instrument. Then Krishna can use you, and you can do anything. Our Prabhupada said, impossible is, what he says, is a word in the fool's dictionary. It's inconceivable now, because it's very hard to be detached from whatever we do. This, anything good you do, although, you know, you try to be detached, but you like to be prized. And so you know, one may criticize bridge preaching, but Vyasadeva attempted also. So, and one important thing, that he didn't delete Vedas after compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. They stay there. So this obviously means that not that everybody or most of people wouldn't accept direct, because Srimad Bhagavatam is indeed for topmost transcendentalists, as I said, for those who want really to go back home, back to Godhead. And their intention must be to be pure devotees. Those who study Srimad Bhagavatam, that's intention. Otherwise, you know, you not get benefit out of it. See? And it would be no chance, actually, for most people to go to topmost grade. They will not take Srimad Bhagavatam anyway. In this canto, there is some line. It said, one who doesn't take the pure devotional service must follow Dharma Shastras, such as Manu Samhita, to atone by performing pious activities. So most people need purification. And then indeed, like Vedas, encompassing every possible mentality of people can have to elevate them to the next stage, until they are able to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, maybe I'm wrong, but we also cannot apply Vedic injunctions unless we have Varnashrama Dharma established. Maybe somebody has like different view, but you know, following Vedic means Varnashrama Dharma already, so they're so connected together. Means like you have to follow Vedas, Vedic teachings. You have to be, Varnashrama Dharma must be established. That's the point. Otherwise, you know, you cannot really apply. And so, but you can transcend this by the mercy of Acharyas. Also, Prabhupada said, like, you know, often, like, let be one scripture, one Bhagavad Gita, one process, service to Krishna. So this is desire of pure devotee, but unlikely will happen so soon. You know, it sounds like too sectarian for most of the people, actually. Even though spiritual minded, when you point out one thing, they'll not take it. You know, if you're giving something else. So bridge preaching in some forms. And those who are able to do direct preaching, let them do, they were Shakti. You know, but for me, most important thing is purity is the force. Very much connected. The other day, Madhavananda said, preaching means your cup is full and is spilling over. Of course, process is purifying. By preaching, you get purified. But that's ultimately, most of the effect will be when this spills over. And most potent people who are able to change the world, influence others, change their minds, improve their lives, are those who walk their talk, indeed. Otherwise, they are just entertainers. Otherwise, there are many good speakers, but they're just able to entertain public, but not change their heart, actually. And also, if you actually also don't give direct Krishna consciousness within the bridge preaching, you'll not be satisfying, like, not really. But for example, you preach about yoga through yoga and just speak about asanas and benefits of yogas and maybe up to mystic cities, but there is no direct preaching, like there is no kirtan, there is no prasadam, then you may be satisfied maybe by getting paid, but there is no real satisfaction or any other thing. Prasadam, you know, if you want to preach to prasadam, must be first class, tasty, and in first place offered really carefully to really spiritualize. Otherwise, there's no benefit. It's just welfare activities which common people just prize as a something exalted, great. You know? So let's go on to this verse now in a few minutes. So previous verse says, purpose of all knowledge means avicitta, infallible purpose, is without mistake, this total imperfection of life. I said in Srimad Bhagavatam, in purified intelligence, a living entity cannot think otherwise than to surrender to the Lord. So if knowledge is really properly conducted, you cannot fail but come to understand that the Lord is so great and I'm so small and insignificant. All my attempts to understand origin of life of anything through my own logic, my own, is just a meager, insignificant. So in that sense, only what you can do with this realization to simply prize the Lord, as a previous verse says, with choices, poetry, you know, you cannot fail. It's a demigods and great devotees often pray in this way. My Lord, what can I offer? You know, I'm so small. So if knowledge is really properly conducted, then you cannot fail, you know. And indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam is missing link for all these theories of creation, of chemical evolution, whatever. Srimad Bhagavatam, that is missing link, really. There's one, I mean, you know that room conversation. I don't know, is it Prabhupada and Svarup Damodar? Or some other scientist, he said, we have such a brilliant theory, everything fits, but just small link is missing to complete this theory. And Prabhupada just leaned back, said, oh yes, missing link, boot in your face. That's missing link, he said. Like, that means wake up, you go in wrong direction, boot in your face. That's a missing link, you know. But Srimad Bhagavatam is missing link, really. Unfortunately, all knowledge headings somewhere else, because if you miss the essence, then you get lost. Maharaj, as you said, you know, they just get confused and out of confusion, get more confused and more confused, because base is not properly done. So this verse 23, apparently Narada is jumping from one topic to the other very suddenly. But we'll see why. He said, after pointing fault in Vyasadeva's work and try to inspire him from one way to write Srimad Bhagavatam, then what he does, he speaks his own life story. Jai Shraddha Kukulananda Ki Jai Samakshmanun Mahashigonita Ki Jai. So You try to induce him from that point, how Vyasadeva himself got liberated by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He is sharing his own experience, how Krishna Katha directly elevate him to such a degree that he is immortal sage. Actually, he said it, I think it's some of the purports of Bhagavad Gita, that Narada Muni has eternal body. His body is identical with the Lord's. He never dies. And his position is unique. Nobody can become Narada, or same, like nobody cannot become Shiva, Durga, and Narada, maybe there's some other great personalities. He's eternal to such a degree. And also he said how he attained this position. He said he was engaged in the service of Vedantists. So now Vedantists, when you hear, you can think of so many different sadhus, mostly Mayavadis, not Vedanta, but the next few purports further ahead, that Srila Prabhupada quotes the Lord Chaitanya, who says that Vedantists are those who know perfectly Sambandhya, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It means relationship with Krishna, service which awakens that relationship with Krishna, and ultimate goal, which is Krishna himself. So these are Vedantists. And in this particular verses, those Vedantists, they were actually those topmost grade Vedantists. They knew Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Regarding Krishna, of course. So, knower of the Vedas is one who knows all these three. So they were topmost grade devotees. And then in few verses ahead, Krishna Katha is also mentioned. So they were engaged in Krishna Katha completely, and Narada was hooked on that pastimes of Krishna. First he took some remnants, he said, but only once, that's an amazing thing, like only once he took. And then he was able, he qualified, and he got purified by this. Then after that he was attracted by Krishna Katha. So Gita Mahaprasadam and the Krishna Katha, he was open for that. And then when he was attracted to Krishna Katha, he was able to see his misidentification with his body and mind. So the further progress. And passion and ignorance vanished. And he was attached to the sages who instructed him upon living in the most confidential knowledge. It's the most confidential knowledge. Bhagavad Gita describes that. What is that most confidential knowledge? So by knowing this most confidential knowledge, one can go back to Godhead. So what is that the most? He said here that knowledge will free one from all miseries of life. You can go briefly through like Bhagavad Gita's statement, confidential knowledge, what is actually. First, Krishna says that all beings are in me, but I'm not in them. That means he's aloof, he's not localized in that sense. You can be perceived by material senses in that sense. And he said, I'm in everything, I'm maintaining everything, but everything doesn't rest in me. I'm not part of this material creation. And then at the end, everything enters me, and I create it again. And then creation, maintenance, destruction is under my control. I'm above reaction to work, above the modes. So Krishna describes in that. So that means most confidential knowledge means knowledge directly related to Krishna, person Krishna. Material nature is under my control. And he said, fools deride me when they don't know that I'm supreme, personality of Godhead, the verses. But those who know me as I am are under my protection. They always glorify me and worship me with devotion. Those advanced, less advanced, who are after knowledge, worship me in different ways, as one or in some concocted form, or as Vishwarup. That means, even if you follow this Vedic rites, still worship me directly, but you don't know. But the result of this is that you fall down in cycle of birth and death. See, so Krishna presents all this so that we can come out of it. And towards the end of that chapter, ninth chapter. The simple things, offering with love, fruit, flower, you know, Krishna accept. He's just waiting, just do something for me, it's for your benefit. Yeah, take, he just grabs. It's so simple. I also, I'm not partial to anyone, but whoever serves me, I'm very interested in him. That means he's turned towards me, I just have to boost his, you know, speed up his process. And even if one commits abominable action, which is this kind of verse, very often controversial to some, still is my devotee, very quickly be purified. But once he starts spiritual Krishna consciousness, he may fall down, but very quickly is rectified, is arranged. All material nature and spiritual nature works to his elevation, purification, as soon as possible. He doesn't need to go the cycle, you know. And anyone who takes shelter in me, it doesn't matter how low birth he has attained, he attained the supreme destination. Anyone, what to speak of those righteous souls. So this kind of quick summary of ninth chapter of Most Confidential Knowledge, which Narada received. He was instructed by sages after rainy season was over, he was instructed in that. And then he was on his own after that, applying this knowledge. So in these verses, a lot is mentioned about qualities of a devotee. That means it's not just you receive knowledge, but there's some qualification which one has to have to, that this process works, actually. Some qualification in this. They also describe qualities of disciple, importance of sadhu sangha, Vaishnava seva, and of course partaking in food remnants of devotee, and having strong faith in devotees. So this is what makes process work, and how he developed this strong faith. By hearing Krishna Katha, this was essential. Attentively, so that's the most important thing. Attention to get some benefit, full benefit. And then taste, in this consciousness, taste increases. And also, all this can be learned only from devotees, not on our own. We need instructions. All these verses talking about guru-disciple, association with the sadhus, to transcend material modes. So if I take shelter of one who is 100% engaged in Krishna service, I'm also connected. But as soon as I slacken, turn away, then again, Maya, we know how Maya works. One moment you are there, oozing with some emotions toward Krishna. The next moment, you know, it can be totally in Maya because of unsteadiness. And the important thing is, who is the proper authority? So how can I trust him? Even if he has good intentions, how you can trust him? How you know? This is my dilemma, actually. I can't always scrutinizing others, speakers. What's he about? You know, is he following his words? Is he walk his talk? What agenda he has? You know, what interest he has? Is it kind of trappings? You know? So even if we said that Guru Shastra Sadhu, that's authority, but how we can tell who is proper sadhu or unalloyed guru? So we have Shastra, as yesterday was some point raised. The Shastra describes the qualities of sadhu and saintly devotees, and saintly devotees emphasize Shastra, they don't concoct, and describe what is pure devotee. So it's kind of interconnected. So this is our authority, how to apply properly according to time, places, and circumstances. So Narada inducing Vyasa in this way, to by his own example. See. So also, towards this chapter is Narada mentioned that only way to actually it's kind of only way to break from material misery is to hearing Krishna Katha. So this kind of sounds sectarian, as every religion, any part, they say the same. Only through this you can attain us, otherwise there's a hell for you. So how we justify this statement? Only way, this is the only way. And even we, in ourselves, we don't like to hear this statement. This is the only way, there's nothing else. What do you think? You know, you heard this, how you justify that in regard of Srimad Bhagavatam? You said, this is the only way. How you justify that? What's different between us and others? Ma? But still he's saying of this is the only way, you know. They have their own kind of parampara, whatever it is, you know. Yeah, different goals. This kind of which heading to. You know, you have certain goal ideas, and perhaps if you follow perfectly your path, your religion, you'll achieve that certain destination only through this, whatever it is, this teacher or this, in that sense. So you have to first know what is actually ultimate goal, and then you can see where others are, you know. So interesting that the other day on the class somebody mentioned that the Vedas are only scriptures which doesn't say this is the only way. Everything seemingly goes, you know. So point is that every person is first hooked up, doesn't matter where he is, and he's lifted up to the next level. In that sense, yes, you know, many lifetimes. But when we come to the threshold of personal relationship with ultimate, absolute truth, person, God, Krishna, then bhakti ama bijanati and so forth, only devotional service I can be known. These are only doors. There are many doors leading to that. But when it comes to personal door where God is residing, there's only one door, devotional service. Now, we don't claim that this is just our own Vaishnava culture, but any process which actually has this devotion to ultimate, you know, we can call it bhakti. And indeed, amount of bhakti in any process towards personal God is a cause of advancement, cause of elevation. So bhakti, actually, we know, even in our process through yoga, to jnana, to amount of bhakti, that's actually a success factor in all this. So, just to end now with this, like every day we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's kind of often frustrating. It's for me, you know, like when I'll start to make use of it, you know, when it'll stay with me, what should I do? See, it goes somewhere in the oblivion, you know, apparently. So how to apply Srimad Bhagavatam in our life? So how to apply this verse itself? What to do with it, so, you know? Like, what we do with it? Such a vast literature, so many instructions, see? I was meditating on that, and then just to come to the level of simply relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a crown success of reading and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Simply to relish, you see. You know, always eager to hear, that's the purpose of it, this eagerness. It's mentioned somewhere in purports. It said that bhakti refers to a taste to hear about Krishna. That eagerness and willingness to hear and relish, this itself is bhakti. This eagerness, this is bhakti. And this bhakti will transform into prema. And what is prema? Prema is extreme eagerness and taste for hearing about Krishna. That's a prema. Like, you know, extreme taste. That's a prema. So, but thinking of this is full success of activity in distribution Srimad Bhagavatam, for example. I know many of you gave Srimad Bhagavatam out to others, but crown success of that is if person comes to the level of relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, not just to be caught up in these technicalities, how to apply this and what should I do with this, kind of pondering this structure, growth structure of Srimad Bhagavatam, be lost in be kind of dry, smart, you know, there are instructions there, but to come just to take a book and just relish and just read, you know, that's a crown success. That's the crown success of reading and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Be spiritually nourished by this way. So that's kind of what I was meditating. Each time I read the verse, you know, it was something else coming. So it kind of stopped. Just to say that it really works, really works. As I said, many times reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the last time is something is just different. Just different. I just pick up and just read and read. Whenever, you know. You know, and it's also, this is like kind of, like a test of how I'm doing in spiritual life, see. If there is no taste, you pick up the book and you're dry, and I know that I screw up something, you know, something is wrong. The same with chanting. What is that? So you go back and you find out what is. If you have proper consciousness, as Narada mentioned, so many qualities. He said he was peaceful, he was free from envy, he was not attached to playing sports, he was not talking unnecessarily, all these qualifications to make him a receiver of transcendental vibration. So it's, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam itself, studying is like kind of tester of your own progress, you know, so it helps you in that way to carefully practice and then nourishes you spiritually. So that's the crown success of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll finish now, a bit late, a few minutes. If somebody has something to say, enlighten us in anything. Otherwise, you finish. Take breakfast, forget Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Is that? Srimad Bhagavatam, Amala Prana Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.